Pulp MX Network production.
This is the Rocky Mountain ATV MC Kiefer Tested Podcast, the podcast you come to for the straight insight on all things motocentric. Hard parts, bikes, gear, suspension, motor mods, and more. It's Kiefer Tested. Here he is, Chris Kiefer.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Rocky Mountain ATVMC.com Kiefer Tested Podcast presented by FXR Racing and REP Suspension. Thank you for downloading this episode as well as subscribing to our show. We appreciate it. We see the numbers are growing. Actually, just got back some numbers from Mathis on how many downloads we have, and they are growing. So thank you for everyone out there referring other people to this show, because I get a lot of those guys here. And some newbies just happened to come on the show a few weeks ago. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate you listening. And this episode is all about the Verbmoto World Mini Grand Prix out at Mesquite Motocross. We just got home actually 4 hours ago. So it's fresh in our minds. There's salt in the wounds. There's just a lot of shit going on. So we're going to break it all down for you guys out here. And if you haven't been to the World Mini, you'll feel like that you have been once you exit this show. And if you were there, strap in, because it's a kind of a bumpy ride over here at the Kiefer household right now. So we'll break it all down right here, right now. But first things first, RockyMountainATVMC.com is the trusted online source for parts, accessories, gear for dirt bikes, side-by-sides, ATVs, and street bikes. Low prices, unparalleled customer service, and free day shipping, free 3 day shipping over $75. You guys should be going to KieferInkTesting.com right now. Clicking on that banner, please, and that'll lead you back to their site and just continue to live your life, do your shopping, and that gives us a little slice of what you're purchasing, and we appreciate that. We see that. So thank you. FXRRacing.com. Use the code KKMX35 to save 35% off your order. Gear, helmets, there is a special KKMX6D code if you want a FXR-branded 6D ATR2 helmet. And if you're a lady, hit me up, chris@kieferinktesting.com. I have a special women's discount code for you, better than the guys out there, because we love you ladies staying on dirt bikes as well. So go check out FXR Racing Helium, Revo. I just wore a new set of podium line gear this weekend. So lots of different flavors over there at FXR Racing. And for me, some of the best gear out there right now in 2024. So thank you, FXR. And thank you to Mark and the guys over at REP Suspension. If you want to listen to a great podcast that I listen to on the way up to World Mini, go to RacerXOnline.com. Steve Mathis did a podcast with Mark Johnson, the owner of REP, and he goes over his backstory a little bit, his time with KTM, some talk about suspension, which bikes are hard to set up, and just if you're a suspension geek like me, you'll enjoy it. And I listened to it for about an hour and a half on the way up, and it was a really good one. So the guys over at REP do know what they're talking about. They have some new stuff coming out that's exciting for me to talk about, which I can't right now. But use the code KKREP if you want to send your stuff over to Mark. He does great work on YZ450s. He's just not a WP guy. He knows a lot about WP, but actually can do Showa. There's a lot of REP on my Kawasaki's in the shop right now. So go check them out, repsuspension.com, and all of our 2024 sponsors, Power Motorsports, Works Connection, Blood Lubricants, 6D Helmets, Dunlop Motorsports, ScreenPrintingDone.com, Decal Works, Alpine Stars, Oakley, ETS Racing Fuels. If you want to get some good fuel delivered to your home, use the code KieferInc for ETS. And if you want some good bars to go along with that, Renthal.com, go to Renthal. And right now, 672 band is on my Yamaha. Aiden's bike is 839, fat bar. And, of course, you want the best chemicals there is out there, Aiden.
Agreed, Maxima.
Do you know the code?
KK35 or something, probably.
Nope, KieferInc24 is the code to save over at Maxima. And you want to do some racing with your buddies. I went racing with about 15 to 16, which is a good turnout for the vet guys at the World Mini.
You had more guys in the vet class than you did pro class.
That's rare. That's crazy. InternationalVetMotocross.com, I-N-T-L, Vet, That's how you sell. VIT. InternationalVetMX.com. They are sponsored by Power Motorsports, and they go California, Arizona, Oregon, Washington, even I want to say they'll go to Idaho too. So go check out the schedule. Go race with some guys over the age of 30, longer motos, and guys with low T that ride dirt bikes.
Jesus.
It's awesome.
Wow.
My family is here, Aiden and Heather.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Tired.
Great.
Tired.
Dark.
Dark went and raced area qualifier today.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Right. How'd he do?
I got a bunch of videos. People are sending me videos. There's Dark. Look at Dark.
How did
Look
Dark
at Dark's here shredding. I don't know. We should call him maybe before we leave here and see how we did.
Let's do that.
Really just break the Vital MX code.
Oh, yeah.
Hope he's wearing Kiefer Inc. merch the whole day.
He probably is.
Probably not.
Nah, he does.
He does.
He's away from Michael. He will.
He wears it all the time. What are you talking about?
Vital's anti other brands to come on the show, so you can't wear my stuff on their show. But whatever. I'd wear a Vital shirt. I don't give a shit.
No, you
will. I will not wear an MXA shirt.
You will not. Although, you did look like an MXA guy today over the weekend with your orange beanie on.
What's sad is orange is my favorite color.
I know.
Ever since I was little. And now, I still don't associate it with MXA.
Would you rather be referred to as MXA Chris when you wear the orange beanie or Convict Chris? Because that's what I was calling you. Because I figured
referred as Convict. Chris.
Convict Chris.
No, I'd rather be MXA because I don't want to be a convict. But yeah, now you're just making me mad. So, all right. So it was a long week at the World Mini. We're gonna break it all down here. Aiden and I. It was a 4-day event: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you were there, just bear with us. We're going to go over the whole scheduling here. But if you haven't, and I just want to suggest something. If you haven't gone to World Mini, I think you should at least try it once. It's kind of like one of those Loretta Lynn things. There's a lot of fun events after the racing. The event is ran well. The Verb Moto guys brought this race back. I told this story on the Pulp Show when I was there. But obviously, my mom was disabled. My dad worked. You know, his balls off. So we didn't have a lot of money to go to Loretta's, Ponca, all these other races. Like, we couldn't venture out, right? Mom was in a wheelchair. So we weren't set up to go across the country. So I'd have to beg my dad to go take me to a race because I thought World Mini, at least back when I was from 12 to 14, that was the race if you lived in the West Coast. Like, that, all the manufacturers were there. If you were an 80... Back then, it's called 80 Expert because they actually had divisions back then, 80 Novice, 80 Intermediate, 80 Expert. When was it? 1990. I went to World Mini.
But that was when it was out by the Hoover Dam, right?
Correct.
Because Eddie and I were talking about this on
Henderson.
On the way up. He said it used to be at the Speedway.
It did, but that was later. That was much later.
Okay.
So it's been around a little bit, right? It was great in its 90s heyday. That's when it was at its peak.
Yeah.
Maximum contingency. All the manufacturers went out there, and it was out in Henderson area, and the track was dog shit, even though I knew that back then. But
it was just
the nostalgia. If you wanted to get known, that's where you go, right? I was a 125 novice. My dad rented a U-Haul for me and Danny Tucker. Mm-hmm. Me and Tucker was my older friend. I think I was 14 and he was 24 or something like that. So
he
took me there. Yep, that's Danny.
That's exactly how he left.
And he gave, how much? I think back then he gave me $300 in cash. That got me through. He paid the hotel. We stayed in a Motel 6. Was bad. And then $300 to last the whole week. And I went racing, and so, that was like a huge deal for me. So
it was a bigger event back then? I mean, lengthwise, because you said the whole week.
Yeah, It was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So same as this, still.
Yes.
Okay.
But the format was different. We'll talk about that in a minute. But nonetheless, it has a little special place in my heart because it was the only big event that I got to go to when I was younger. That's the only thing. Up until you and I went to Loretta's, Heather, in 2017, I never went to a huge amateur national.
Yeah.
Because Aiden didn't start doing shit until 21 or 20.
20.
Yeah. So we missed it last year. And what was the reason why?
Because we raced Cal Classic the next weekend.
So I didn't want to go back to back.
You don't want to go. You don't want to drive up there and then come back down.
You're gonna talk louder by the next, way.
And then the next weekend have to go to Glen Helen.
It sounds like dog shit. That's a great choice by myself because I would not want to do that. I would do that this year though.
And I also got. I got nothing from it because last year they didn't
have any contingency or anything.
So the Verb Moto guys have resurrected this. It started back last year. They brought it back. I'm fairly sure.
Yes, last year.
Last year was the first year. Because you were really excited for Aiden to go do it, but then when we found out there was no contingency for him from Cowie or Monster or anything, you were like, eh, we'll just go to Cal Classic.
Right.
Yeah. And you were bummed about it because you were like, oh, the whole thing with this has a special place in my heart, yeah. And this is what I got to do, and yada, yada, yada.
So this year we had, I said, look at... all these manufacturers came out. Verb got them to pay contingency. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say they weren't all there.
Come out for contingency.
Oh, okay. I was going to say they weren't all at the track.
Honda and Kawasaki really did a great job for contingency.
I didn't even see what Honda's was.
Same as Cowie's.
It was.
Yes. Yamaha also had it. So did KTM. They had other, but quite significantly less money than Honda and Honda and Kawasaki.
Yeah.
I mean... You won a class, it was 750?
750.
So it was double contingency. So I was thinking, great, there's going to be a lot of people and riders there. And so I have a bone to pick with everybody. What the fuck is everyone doing nowadays? They're not racing.
They're not here. I was actually really surprised that there wasn't more kids there. Like, I thought that Aiden would have had more quality riders in his class than what he had.
Yeah, so it's kind of puzzling to me. The vet riders actually turned out, which is not even a vet race. It's a world mini. It's for kids, pretty much, right?
Do you think this is because it's not an AMA-sanctioned race?
I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
People freak out on this whole major event or featured event thing, right?
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. It would be interesting to go to Cal Classic next weekend just to see who shows up in his
classes. Oh, it's going to be the same.
It'll be the same.
It'll be the same amount.
Yes.
There won't be any more or less.
You'll get the regular California local kids, but you won't.
He'll have 15 to 18 guys in his class.
But there'll be 3 to 4 good kids.
Decent.
California good kids, and then after that, it's just
unless
regular.
Maybe most of them are staying back east for futures because there's such a...
Well, this is the problem with our amateur era right now. Here's the thing. I don't think there's enough families out there that are chasing this future / I want to be a professional motocrosser out there right now. I think most of everybody is grassroots. Let's go race as a family, go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this era of social media and all the coverage that Supercross and motocross is getting, people are trying to look at our sport as a possible job. And this is where I think it's getting screwed up. A lot of families are dumping money into their kids to go racing, but from what I have seen, this is my opinion, it's not for the correct reasons. It's for, like, I want my kid to have a ride and have a shot. And
which is fine, I mean, 'cause
it is, but, like, then our sport kind of dwindles down when that happens. It doesn't grow. If you go to off-road races,
yeah.
Gypsy had just had a race there at Mesquite. Way more people than this race. And this has nothing to do with the Verb guys. The Verb guys did an excellent job. I thought they promoted it well.
Yeah.
People knew about it. They brought contingency out. The track, Mesquite is a great track. RMX, Gary Bruff, Ryan and Gavin and McCoy. It's a big family, right?
And Courtney.
Courtney. I said Ryan. They do a great job, and they run the event.
They run it really well.
We're going to talk about that.
All right. Okay.
But I think maybe 700 entries total, which isn't, it's not shit, but it's not what I thought it was going to be. I think it was going to be like more like 1,000 to 1,200.
They said that this year was actually more than they had last year.
Yeah.
Well, and it's going to grow every year.
Maybe that's it too. Maybe I expected too much too soon.
So anyways, real quick before you continue, this is the contingency. Yamaha paid $4,000. KTM was $11,000. Husky was 11, Gas 11, Cowie was 50, Honda was 18.
Really?
Yeah.
But Honda paid 18,000? Because I looked at the class breakdown and it was the same as yours. Like, they got the same amount
of money. They paid 18, but they paid less classes, though.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Look at Kawasaki, say what you want. They're at the forefront of contingency and paying out.
Yes.
There is no one better than Team Green. What did Yamaha pay? You didn't say Yamaha.
They paid four.
$4,000?
$4,000.
You know how much, you know how much, if I would have won, you know how much I would have got?
$100. $250A was $100.
Marsh would have got $100.
That's it. That's all they got. Yeah. 450B was all B class. That's pretty shitty.
Whoa.
Well, I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Like,
vet 25 was 75. The vet classes were the same as.
First place for everyone wasn't the same?
No. First place.
Because, like, if you go to.
First place all the way to the pro classes were all $75.
It's not much.
I'm just saying, like, if I was.
Cowie paid $750 for.
Throw me a bone here. What did. I don't know. Name a class. Schoolboy 1, what did the winner in Kawasaki, what did they get? I don't think there is any Schoolboy 1 Kawasaki. Well, yeah, I guess you can because you're riding. You can,
Schoolboy 1 is, I mean,
but you can ride an 85.
Yeah, they don't have it down.
They don't have it down.
No.
What about Vet 30?
Vet 30, we got $750. Everyone from Vet 30 to A class to B class to
Kawasaki.
College to women's to 65s to 85s to super minis, it was all the same thing from 750 to 500 to so first was 750, second was 500, third was 300, fourth was 200.
Should have rode Kawasaki.
I'm just saying, if I was picking a brand to ride and like that was one of my deciding factors, I would definitely go with Cowie just because they pay more. I mean,
yeah, but you also got to think about bike if it's good or not, right? Which Kawasaki is a good brand.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors. Anyway,
I'm just saying.
Verbmoto brought it back. It was a great event. If you haven't been, I suggest you try it because they do run a very tight ship. Everything is on time. You know exactly when you're racing.
Yeah.
This year's event was a little bit different than I don't think they did it last year. They might have. They did it as an MXGP format.
I thought they did.
I thought they did last year as well.
I believe they did.
So they have a practice session, which Aiden screwed me on.
How did I screw you on?
Because he said it was timed for the gate pick for qualifying.
Well, I mean,
so then I sent it for no reason.
Also, I was not there for that, so you can't blame me.
Yeah, it's just... Okay, so they have practice, was on Thursday, and then qualifiers to give you a gate pick for both motos, Moto 1 and 2. So if you got second in your qualifier,
that was
no matter how
pick.
You finished in your Moto 1, you got second pick.
Even for Moto 2?
Yes.
Oh,
that's just how MXGP is. Same. So that is different. So you have a lot of track time. Also, the RMX crew, they give you longer motos. So you have almost 15-minute motos for each class,
yep,
which is nice.
Yep.
The track itself, if you guys are thinking about, it's the desert, and you haven't been to Mesquite, it is... a very rare type of dirt. They have brought in a lot of sand into this clay, right? So the track gets very rutty and choppy and unlike anything that we have near our home in Southern California.
Yes.
We went there for an area qualifier. That's probably one of the ruttiest tracks I've ever raced on. Everywhere you went was a rut. It'll teach you. It'll frustrate you. But for me, it challenges you. So I like that. When I suck at something at my age, I hate it, but then it's one of those things like you go on a 100-mile bicycle ride and you're like, this is the most fucked thing ever. And then you look back on it, you're like, dude, that was cool. A good time. Two weeks ago, that was a good time. It's kind of like how I am with things are tough for me. Like I hate it because I suck at it, but then I'm looking back, dude, that was actually really good for me. I like that. That's kind of how Mesquite is. It's like really good prep, deep. They challenge you, but yet the track is slowed down enough where it's safe.
Yep.
Like, there's not one point of the track I'm like, dude, that's a sketchy area. It's not. There's nothing bad, you know?
I do. There's one spot, but I mean, it's not really.
What is it?
Just the jump into the hole.
That's not even sketchy because you don't even have to jump it. You can just land on top. The little P-dubs are landed on top.
The gravity cavity?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, yeah, if you screw up, of course, everything is dangerous. You have a throttle stuck or whatever. Shit happens, right?
Yeah.
But like, as far as like, hey, I got to do this jump, that's not a bad jump.
They're all safe jumps. Like, right. It's not bad.
I always see the triple out of the corner? Like, you just really have to...
Dave does that.
I know, but from where I stand, it looks like you guys are just really trying really hard to make it up and over.
Yes, because there's no run. Like, if you go inside, you have 10 feet to clear 75 feet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but again, if you case it, like Aiden did a shit ton of times during the week, it's fine. It's nothing going to happen to you. You just got to check your spokes every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... anyway, the overall event is really fun. It's laid back. It gives you an off-road vibe. There's not a lot of crazy amateur parents running around. Not a lot of people that are pissed off.
No.
You have golf courses next to you. You have nice housing.
I love Mesquite. Like, that's probably one of the
casinos.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more funner tracks to go to as a spectator, just because the people are great. It's laid back. The weather's usually pretty nice. It was really windy this weekend, so it was.
You weren't even there on the windy.
Yeah, you weren't even there.
I know. So
you bailed on us.
I didn't.
Spectating. You brought up a great point. If you want to spectate, you can walk or ride your bike up the hill.
Yep.
There's a hill because you got to drop down into this track, right?
Yep.
You can see every. There's people on top of the hill with lawn chairs hanging out.
Oh yeah, side by sides.
And
like
just,
people from town rolling.
I
to
went
watch.
Up there and watched Aiden's moto sometimes, and I could see everything. Like,
yeah.
And if you're a racer and you don't get a parade lap, you can go up there and see where the lines are going at least. Like, that is so good.
Well, and they built this really nice spectator tower right after the finish line that was pretty cool to go in. Like,
what was that?
Right
right at the mechanics area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super
I never did it.
Oh, I did. Every moto I was up there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was really nice because you could actually see majority of the track.
It's one of the better tracks for spectating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's a good vibe there. Like, it's,
the
like
track.
It.
People that work there aren't Nazis.
No.
Mellow.
Rick's up on the hill.
Rick's up on the hill drinking Crown Royal. He's saving your ass.
Waving his flag.
But yeah, just the overall, everyone is very friendly and nice and welcoming.
Yes. And I feel too, like with the flaggers, that it's one of the safer tracks. Like, you don't have to worry about the flaggers. Like,
I did yell at a flagger.
Did you?
When I put my vest on.
Oh.
It was a kid.
But I just feel like they make sure that they know what's going on.
Yeah, they hire right people, I feel like. But right. The thing that I've come to realize, all the flaggers have been the same flaggers for a long time.
That's great point, Aiden.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Not
because
like,
they know what they're getting themselves into.
Exactly. Like,
and this is all due to Gary.
Yes.
This is the RMX crew. This is what you get. I'm telling you, I raced CRC, CMC, NMA, Saturday REM, like all these swap moto, like there is not another organization as tightly ran as RMX.
Like, for example, Glen Helen, they hire different flaggers every weekend, and it's dumb kids that don't know what they're doing. They just want to do there to get paid.
And they're on their phone.
And they're on their phones most of the time.
Well, don't say everybody, because there are some good ones.
There are good ones, yes, but I'm saying most of the time, though, they're just kids right. that just want to get paid.
And I will say, too, they nothing. Also have headphones on, so they can all communicate with each other, which
yes.
is nice.
Yes.
It's just good. It's just ran really well.
Yeah. Like,
it's ran really well, yeah. Everything's so, on a time, like Loretta's. It was nice.
That's what was, we knew exactly what time our motors were, and it was on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was 10:15, our gate, like the gate guy, excuse me if I don't know his name, nice guy.
Really good
he
guy.
Gave us 2 minutes, and it was 10:13. I looked at my watch when A was on the line. Like, it was
yep.
ready to go. Unless something happened, and they caught. They had track maintenance scheduled into the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they good. Needed to catch up, they used that to catch up.
Yeah.
Now, granted, about the track, it was windy as shit Thursday and Friday. So the track dried out abnormally than it does most of the time. Usually it's very soft, stays pretty moist, but it dried out. It looked like a hare and hound at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, it was, they were chasing it, right? Only so much you can do.
Right.
But for me, as a guy watching Aiden sometimes in his race, I was like, holy shit, the track looks like dog shit. And then my moto would come up, and then when I raced it, I'm like, oh, it's not as bad as it looks. I actually still had some traction around the track. It wasn't like an ice rink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these times, the ruts are so formed and deep that you can actually lock into something,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
how was it before your last moto yesterday? Was it pretty slick? Because they were watering. I looked at Dad, and I was like, really?
No, it wasn't really that bad.
Okay.
No.
So it wasn't as slick as you would anticipate if you were somewhere else.
No, it wasn't that bad.
We're going to talk about track conditions in a minute.
Okay.
Let's get to the cost, because you guys know I always talk about cost, because money is an important topic. And I was in St. Louis last week at the Supercross. I watched Futures, and I had a gentleman come up to me and say, hey, Kiefer, you talk about money a lot on your show. And I just want to let you know, my dad did that to me when I was younger, and it put pressure on me. So to you people out there, I don't bring up the cost to say, F you, Aiden, I'm doing it all for you. I'm bringing up the cost just so people know how expensive it is. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you ever feel like oh, my dad spent all this money, I have to do this.
No.
Right.
I don't ever know.
Like, I have a good time going. Sure, I bitch because I have to go.
Yeah.
But I like racing. When I'm there, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's getting to there, which sucks. Or waking up at balls early.
Yes, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
But I feel like we really didn't have to wake up, like, super early.
Well, you didn't because you didn't
come
till
late. You came.
You escaped
on
a lot of things this time. You're like supercross only, girl. That's what you are.
I'm not like, I had a surprise shower to go to.
Showered, more important.
Slowly but surely, Heather's phasing herself out of these races.
I am not. I told your dad that I would not go.
Hey, we held it down, though.
And we were fine.
We held it down.
Actually, shit didn't go start getting south until mom showed.
Until she showed up. And then once she showed up, it
shit hit the
fast.
So you're blaming it on me?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying it could be coincidence.
I'm just saying, you know how you keep your life? You know how he always says, simplify your life? Life was simple until you showed up.
Well, maybe you
shouldn't
you
showed up and
play Bam Bam.
There you go.
What? Oh, here's that. I feel like that's something Seven Deuce Deuce would have on his show.
Jesus.
Wow.
Thanks. No irate.
Anyways, continue.
So cost. It was $480 for Aiden and I both. Aiden raced four classes. I raced two classes. That's fairly good.
That's cheap.
I think I did Texas with you, and it was $480 you alone if I went back to that show and listened. It was $400 and something just for your entries. So,
I don't remember.
In the world of entries, not great, not shit, standard.
Yep.
Where I got jacked was the Airbnb, $1,200.
How much was it to get into the track?
It was free.
Oh, you got it for free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are going to be like, yeah, F you, Chris. But it was free because I'm on a gate list. So we did not pay to get in. So thank you to RMX.
Thank you.
And just, I want to get in front of this because I can hear this happening. Kiefer does the shows because he's sucking RMX's dick. And no, I do these shows because I like to talk about the race, what downloads of the weekend. A lot of these people that go to these races love these shows. These type of shows almost have the best numbers besides technical shows I have.
Yes.
So, no, I will happily pay RMX to get in. I don't care.
Right.
I'm not doing these shows to get in for free. It's not going to make or break my life if I have to pay to get in. And I honestly, this is the first time that I ever got in for free. Because Gary always says, hey, did you pay? I go, yeah. I go, he's like, why'd you pay? I go, because I don't know. I just paid my way in.
Because that's what you do.
So this time I took him up on it and I didn't pay to get in. So the haters can suck it. I'm not doing that because of that. $150 in diesel. So we got about, I don't know, almost $2,000 in the race.
Cheaper than the other amateur race.
I mean, it's not cheap, honestly.
It's cheaper than going to Texas.
Like, there's a reason why people stay local.
Yes.
So, look, it's a destination race.
Right.
I mean, I lived it, right? I didn't go to these things because my dad didn't have enough money. So, I'm just telling you guys, if you are somewhere near the West Coast and you got to drive with a radius of 6 hours or so, it's worth it to go. It's a fun event. You can have a good time with your family. There's other things to do. There's restaurants. There's casinos. There's golf. You can make a 4 or 5 day thing out of it. You can go a little early on Tuesday, go play some golf. I guess I'm not a golfer, but really, really from what I hear is really, really great golfing there.
They got like really nice golf.
Normally the weather this time of year is nice. We had shitty Thursday, Friday wind because a storm came in through California, but Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
It was nice.
So all in all, it wasn't cold.
There's a shooting range you can go to also.
Where's that?
The shooting range is right below.
No,
there.
They bought it. They bought
it's
it.
Gone now.
It's gone.
Oh, so they're not shooting.
No.
Oh,
no shooting.
Gone. They bought it.
Can't bring your guns, peeps. But if you have a UTV, the town is very UTV friendly.
Oh yeah, people.
Everyone's on UTVs.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a guy some gloves today at the gas station, because he was on a poker run, and I said, "Would you like some gloves?" I gave him two pairs of gloves, so he's like stoked, and he was on a poker run from there's a Honda dealership right there in Mesquite. So
yep,
there you go.
All right. So again, RMX, they ran it very well. We showed up on time. Everything was ran smooth. I don't really have anything negative to say about how the event was ran.
No, I think it was ran really good, actually.
I like that they have metal grates for starting.
Yep.
I know Randy doesn't like that, but
I like it.
I think it's nice. It's easier to prep. You gotta, if you are going racing on a metal grate, just be aware that you're going to have to push your start device down further because you have mass traction. So if you're at 110 millimeters on your hole shot device, you might go to 130. So you're going to have to bury that front end down a little bit. So we found that out with Aiden. Aiden was wheelie in. It didn't really help Aiden, not wheelie, but Nonetheless, it went down another 15 mil. So just be aware of that. I like that they have metal grates. They did change the track this year, which I approve of the changes.
I liked it.
So they
different.
Before, the start would make a left and it would sweep around, big sweeper into the track. Now it went sharp left and then sharp right into the rhythm section, the little rollers, which made for some slippery, tighter areas, but all in all, wasn't horrible.
It was, no, I liked it. It was something
different. On the track, though, I liked that section. I prefer that roller than the sweeper. You?
I do prefer it, yes. I think it's just something different, and it kind of...
breaks it up?
Not really broke it, breaks it up, but something different besides, like, everyone else is doing the same line. You can either go outside, double in.
Oh, we know you like that area.
Yeah, I love that area.
Jesus.
That's where a lot of my passes came from, that area.
A lot of bombs went off in that area. Oh. So we're going to talk about that. But you could go outside, double into the rollers, or hug the inside, scrub, and then double your way through. And then it had a sharp left, and then the track kind of went back to its normal shape. But it was nice that they actually changed it. It's been a long time since they changed it.
Yep.
Again, a little bit more. So they dumped some sand on the track, so more sand. And overall, the track got very choppy and rough. And it's hard to go fast there. If you're trying to push, you're basically not going to do well. You got to stay smooth. You got to stand up late. The insides get very choppy. The outsides are available to a certain amount of time. So it's a track that makes you think, but also if there is a negative, it's kind of hard to pass on.
Yes.
Because what happens is the lines get formed early. They harden up. And then the middle part of the track stays quagmire. That's what I like to say. A little soft, so no one goes there. So then you're either going to go outside that gets blown out and burnt, and now the concrete walls are kind of effed up, so it's slippery, or you're going to have to run through just
deep inside ruts.
Deep, choppy inside ruts. Put him down. So it was just difficult to really make moves on anything if you're going to do it. So it was all in all fun track to do, you know, do these races on, but it just, man, you really had to think and had to set up your passes early in your mind before it actually happened. So Aiden, we're going to get to you on why you have to do that. All right. So like, as always on these shows, I asked my family to write down some things on the way home, what they would like to talk about. So I'll get with Heather first, but, just a little bit of information. If you're a family and you're driving home from these races, it's a good time. I think I discussed this on last show. It's a good time to download the day. For whatever reason, when I drive or when I go to sleep is when I think the most, right? So when I'm driving, I could just blab off something to Aiden that I think about. And if you are a family and you're driving home, I think it's good for you as a racing family to download the weekend and what you guys did good and bad. Because then it will... honestly, would help your guys' communication as a family and make you grow together. And it actually could help your child if he's growing up in the racing world, just because you might see something that he doesn't know. And if you assume that he's going to know or she know, chances are they don't. So maybe if you have a couple hour drive home or whatever, download 30 minutes of the day and say, hey, we need to work on XYZ. And if that goes for you, the mechanic, dad, or the rider, I think that's a healthy way to really have a nice drive home. Look, our drive is not a happy drive home this time, but I mean, we talked about things. It wasn't like, hey, shit happens, you know, but sometimes most of the time it's going to be not great unless you're just winning everything, which is probably pretty rare.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many families just are straight winning. Adam Cincerello back in the day, Mike Alessi, Villopoto, maybe they're winning everything, but I don't know how many dominant kids there are nowadays. To me, there's two or three, four kids that can win, and not every time you're gonna win. Right. And if you're doing it just for fun as a family, like, look, it's just good to learn and do that. So that's what we did. So Heather, what are some of the things that you saw, witnessed, want to discuss that you think other people would be interested in?
Well, we've already covered a couple of them, like the way the race was ran, the scheduling, like all that, like. I had that down.
Yep.
I would like to discuss your temper tantrum that you threw in the van after one of your motos.
Okay. Go ahead. Break it down. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like if it was Aiden, you would have lost your mind and told him not to act like that.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I have rebuttal, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because you came back from your moto, and I walked up and said, good job, and you slammed your helmet down. And
I didn't slam it, but go ahead.
Well, you dropped it very harsh.
I didn't throw it.
Well, you dropped it very harshly. Not have been dropped like that. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, a boot came flying out of the van, and then another boot came flying out of the van, and then Eddie walked up, and a knee brace came out and almost hit Eddie, and then another knee brace came out, and then gear started flying out, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
You saw what happened.
I mean, you didn't ride your best, but like...
Push that closer in your face.
You were temper tantruming him, which then led to the kid next to us, like, I don't know, 45 minutes later, he comes rolling his bike into his box van. He just hears, and I'm like, we're looking over.
Trailer,
like,
not a box van.
Whatever, sorry.
Yeah.
We're like, is this kid okay? And I kind of like walk over and peek, and he's like standing up. And I'm like, okay, well, he's fine. And then he starts throwing shit out of his trailer. I'm like, what is going on?
I don't mind. I guess.
I just feel like if that would have been Aiden,
okay.
I'm
listening to you.
You would have gone after him and been like, what the fuck?
No, because the way I did it, I'm not, Aiden has thrown his helmet. I don't do that. I might drop it, right? But I'm not going to throw something against something or just, you know, slam it down. I'm not there. And I wasn't yelling.
I didn't say you were yelling.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's the difference. Like if Aiden comes in pissed off, yelling and throwing his shit, I'm out on that.
Oh, for sure.
But passion to me, like, if you're passionate and you're pissed, like, look, when Aiden doesn't do good, like, I am not going to be in his ass the first 10 minutes. We talked about this on the show. Like,
yep.
You got to give racers, if they are racers, some time if they got a problem or they got worked or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it wasn't so much that I got beat. Because I get beat all the time. It's not a big deal for me. But, like, when something doesn't work right, I had a test part that wasn't great.
Yeah.
And it made me ride shittier than I should. Granted, if I had my bike great and everything felt right, I wouldn't have won anyway.
Yeah.
But I would have been better off. I would have been, at least would have gave Riley some kind of fun to ride with. I mean, he worked me and he rode by himself. It was super lame. Like, I tried to save face a little bit by trying to get good starts, but then I would screw the start up and fly off the track.
I think I was standing with Doug, and Doug was like, he does know he needs to turn, right?
No.
I'm like,
So the track was really tough. It's also super tough as I get older to just go fast right away when I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
If I don't know where I'm going, that's kind of reason why I like to race a lot. So I'm like comfortable with the track because I don't just haul ass right away anymore. Like, it's tough. Unless it's somewhere that I know, like Glen Helen, then I'm okay. Like, because I already know what's out there, right?
Right.
Riley is the son of Gary, the owner of Mesquite. So Riley knows where he's going. He's ridden there quite a bit, right?
Locals
so
only.
I need to be on top of my shit and then some if I want to be on it, right? And this is, I'm 47. I'm riding 25 and 30. World Mini didn't have any 40 class. So I knew I was like at a deficit already because I'm riding with younger guys. So I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
But no excuse. Like, I should be better than I was. And that's what pissed me off is, like, the bike didn't feel how I want it to be felt.
Right.
And it was embarrassing for me.
Right.
So I just wanted out of my gear ASAP because it just reminded me of the shit that I just put out there.
Which I understand. But it's weird for me because I never see you really have that sort of reaction. Like, in all the years that we've been together,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you throw shit out of the van. So I was just kind of like, huh.
Well, here's the deal. There's only a couple times I've been upset because in my class, there's not a lot of guys that ride dirt bikes or plumbers and fucking guys at work, right? So I win.
Right.
Unless I'm going to race Brownie or something. And then.
Yeah. No, I know.
Then it looks like what just happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So, yep. So when I expect to do certain things and it doesn't happen, that's when I get upset.
Yeah.
If I try my hardest and I'm like, man, I got work 20 seconds, I'm fine.
Right. Because you know that you actually gave it 100% effort.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
I think that was pretty much like it.
Did you write these down or just in your mind?
No, I had them written down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're on my phone. Mm-hmm. Aiden? Want to
discuss? So I ask my family every time, hey, can you write stuff down? And then they never write it down. They just say, I got it in my mind. Aiden said that and Nick came in and he's like, I only got three things. And then I drew it down? No. So he wrote them down. Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt this programming, but we're going to do some commercials. Listen to these because there are some discount codes within these, and that could save you some money, and that can make you happy. We'll be right back.
Screenprintingdone.com.
My dream is the world's most powerful t-shirt.
Do you want to look good, but you ain't got the money?
Trying to get some t-shirts made?
Yeah, buddy.
Go to screenprintingdone.com.
This is a t-shirt.
You can get anything you want on that t-shirt.
I'm about to show you guys how y'all can look fly.
Your business name.
That's my business.
Your kid's name.
Oh, Billy.
Your favorite phrase, like, let's go, buddy, or free jailbirds.
I agree.
Anything at all. Screenprintingdone.com.
T-shirt printing business.
Mention Kiefer on your next order and get 10 free t-shirts.
That's what I'm talking about!
Screenprintingdone.com.
I know it's tough sometimes, guys. What engine oil should I run? What weight? Synthetic or non-synthetic? It's tough. But you guys, I've been running blood lubricants for about 2.5 years now. I've had great results. You guys are looking for some great oil. The Barracuda Blood Series 1040 is what we run in all of our test bikes here. It's specifically formulated for the most brutal racing conditions on earth. Look, heat, high humidity, silt, mud, whatever you got, this Barracuda Blood 1040 can handle it. 1040 is a great weight for most motocross and off-road machines, even though maybe your owner's manual says run 530 or 1050. To me, 1040 is a great weight. Check it out. Barracuda Blood Series. It's been through Baja 1000, the 500, Mint 400, Vegas, Torino, all of our test bikes here. 100% synthetic oil. It's great stuff. You put it in, and I run about 2.5 engine hours. I take it out, and man, it still comes out pretty damn clean. So you can use the code Kiefer at checkout over at bloodlubricants.com. Save yourself 25% off a case of oil. They have all different kinds of stuff. They have suspension oils. They've got sprays, chain lubes, whatever it is for oil-related stuff for your off-road motorcycle. Check out bloodracing.com. Ride-engineering.com. You guys want to get some clamps, some bar mounts, some chain blocks, brake calipers. Adrian over there at Ride Engineering has a lot of quality parts. And if you use the code KT20, that'll save you 20% off what he offers over there. So that's ride-engineering.com. And he is not only the guy who tests the parts, I mean, I help him as well, but he also has an engineering degree. Holy crap. So go check him out, ride-engineering.com. Use the code KT20 to save some money. You guys out there thinking about buying a new 2024 YZ450F, 250F, and of course, they still make two strokes. The new YZ450F is narrower, more compact, and lighter. It's built to do one thing, go faster. 2024 YZ450F is unchanged, but it is a proven winner, has won many shootouts, as well as the all-new 2024 YZ250F. That has won some shootouts as well. And it's all over at Power Motorsports. So go check them out. Get your new Yamaha from the number one Yamaha dealership in the USA. The pros at Power Motorsports in Sublimity, Oregon. Let them know you heard it here. That's right. The one and only Kiefer Tested Podcast. Call or text 503-769-8888 and ask for the power price. I don't even care where you're at in the USA. Maine, California, Florida, Washington. Just go visit them, powermotorsports.com, or hit me up, chris@kieferinktesting.com, and I'll get you in touch with the guys over there at Power and let you go rip around on your new scooter. So fun. Dress properly for your ride with a helmet, eye protection, riding jacket, or long sleeve shirt, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It is illegal and stupid. All right, we're back with the show. That wasn't so bad. We're going to talk more World Mini right now. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start off with the first one. Well, we talked about track prep. Oh, did we talk about track prep?
Oh, no, we can talk about it.
Okay, I mean, yeah,
we talked about conditions.
So, usually Mesquite is usually more of the ruddier, softer tracks, like he said. The first 2 days when it was windy, I actually felt like it was not normal Mesquite. It was more dry, more hard-packed, like a normal California-based track. Which, honestly, I was kind of fine with it. Just because I felt like that made for better racing. And then once Saturday came, I feel like they over-prepped and they overwatered and maybe a little bit muddy to the point where people were going places where they normally were. So it kind of made for one line throughout the whole day, and then once that main line, like that basically just outside berms, once the outside berms kind of got blown away, then everyone funneled to the inside, but the only inside they were taking was the far inside, and then that was the only line.
Okay.
So I wasn't really a fan of it.
The prep.
Yes.
Every day or just certain
days? I mean, Thursday, Friday wasn't good, but it was manageable where I felt like that was more of a racier track than what Saturday was. Even Gavin even said, which is the youngest of the three brothers, said that the track prep sucked on Saturday than it did Sunday.
Right.
Or, sorry, Saturday than it did on Thursday, Friday.
So let's try to, for people out there listening, you might hear that from your child. The track sucks. So I guess what we have to do as parents and you as racers, like, look, everyone rides the same track, right?
Yeah.
So you have to know in your mind, hey, man, I guess I have to get a good start. It relies on the start because then your life is easier. If you're in third, fifth, and then working your way up, you can work your way back up. But then what in your class, you had the top three guys were gone from everybody else, right? You guys separated up pretty bad.
Yeah.
So if you had to work your way up and you were 5 seconds back from second when you got to third, you're going to have a rough time.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a work.
Right. So there's emphasis on start. So you family at home and you got kids, hey, the track sucks. You have to ride it and you have to ride it to the best of your ability and then break it down in segments. Like, hey, first part of the race is starts. You need to do that. Make your life easy. And then if they still are adamant and the track sucks, there are places where you as a parent can go around and look. If you're familiar with racing, know where they can make moves or passes. Aiden and I discuss, okay, there's these areas where you can make moves. These are the areas, right? So you need to be close enough in those areas to make a move.
Mm.
So we discuss this at almost every track. Hey, over here, over there, that's where you go, or you're not going to be able to do anything there, so you just got to ride it out. But once you get to here, you got to make something happen before you get to the area where it's going to be one line.
Yep.
So there's some positivity. You got to spin that to your kids racing. You just can't say, track sucks, and then just let them think that.
Right.
You have to have some kind of reinforcement there.
Yep.
So, okay.
The next thing was my lapper incident.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's way ahead of where we should be. Like, I feel like that's so far ahead, we're going to skip a lot before we get to that. So, okay, let's break down your week then.
Okay.
Were you... How was your qualifying? So you had four classes, 450B, 250B, Schoolboy 2, and then Open BC. Do you remember all of your qualifying positions?
Yeah, it was 1, 2, 1, 1.
So you got only one? You qualified three out of the four fastest?
Yes. Okay. And then I won my first moto.
Probably just look it up because I have it here.
So I won my first qualifier race. I got second, and then I went 1-1 in my other two.
Okay.
And then I won my first moto of Open BC. And then the rest.
You qualified second in Schoolboy 2.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
And then the other couple motos, I went 1-2. No, I went 1. Oh, no, sorry. So I got third. I qualified third. That's why, because I fell.
You text Eddie and said you just about died?
Or maybe, I mean, maybe I've been a moto. Yeah, it was a moto. So I won my first Open BC moto. I got third in my other moto because my foot got ripped off in a rut and I fell. And then the next moto, I got second. And then the next moto, I did not finish.
Did not finish?
Did not finish.
Okay.
Which one? Oh.
So, again, Alvin Hillen. I've been saying Hillian for I don't know how long. I thought there was an I in there. It's not. Hillen. I don't like that, by the way. I feel like that's a bad last name.
Hillen?
It needs an I in there.
Hillian sounds
nice. It rolls off my tongue better.
Hillen.
So, Alvin, tell your parents you need to be Hillian.
I'm sure he'll get right on top of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right on that. Then local boy.
Yep, Grayson.
Locals only. Locals there just...
Grayson Townsend. His dad owned Cole. Great family. They own Fast Company. Handlebars. They make hard parts. Foot pegs, all kinds of different things. So they're based out of St. George. So they ride there a lot.
Yep.
Alvin doesn't ride there about as much as you do. You raced him at the area qualifier not too long ago.
Yep.
And then past that, it was a big gap.
Yep.
No hate comms to the other people. I just don't.
That was probably like
I don't know much about you, and then you weren't close, so that makes me no less, right?
Yeah.
So there was three good kids, which I thought there would be more there in your class.
Yes.
Same.
So you won some motos. You rode really well. You had fastest lap times in a lot of motos. A lot of compliments by a lot of people for your riding. I feel like your riding was good. Your overall choice making was good up until this one point.
Yeah.
So when it came down to, was the first moto.
Yeah.
When it came down to, I don't even think we've ever broke down the story of me and you having problems on this show.
No,
we didn't.
We kind of like just skipped.
Let's have a flashback here.
To January.
So Aiden and I, as you guys know, we're very competitive, and Aiden's faster than me. We're not going to do that. That's done and over with. But in some days, I'm close, right? So in some days, it's better for him. He can chase me because there could be a gap, and he can chase it down, or whatever the case may be. Like, I still want to learn. I still want to go fast. Aiden's going upward. I'm just trying to maintain what I got. So there's a drill when we go train called 5-4-3-2-1. Basically what that is 5-lap sprint, 1-lap parade lap, 4-lap sprint, 1-lap parade lap, so on and so forth till you get 1 lap, and then that's it. It ends up being a long moto.
Yeah.
And that's very tiring. It's like intervals for you people that work out at the gym. It's kind of like intervals for motocross.
It's like hit.
So we were at Mesquite during the week earlier this year. So us, our buddy Dave,
January.
Greg, Dubok, he brought a Japanese rider out there. Darkside was there.
Marshall Welton was there.
And we just have a group of guys doing training for 2 days at Mesquite. Again, we love the track. It's good conditions. That's why we're there. So we're in the middle of this 5-4-3-2-1. Aiden says, my bike is making a noise. I'm out. I'm like, okay, just ride around, cruise. So
work technique.
So I am up front with the Japanese kid in front of me. I'm in second. And then we do our first 5-lap sprint. I think we're on the 3-lapper. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, during the roll lap, I instructed everybody, hey, everyone's got a single jumps. There's no jumping jumps. Because let's try to keep the gap when you finish your 5-lapper or 4-lapper. Keep the gap the same when you start your next sprint. So that gap is the same. While I'm in my parade lap, I see Aiden go, yap, 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 hopping his way like a fucking Frogger around the track, which then brought him closer to me. So then when we started our next sprint, he was in my ass, and then he's revving his engine at me, which we discussed on the show how Aiden revs engines at people during practice days, which immediately makes me mad. And then he does it to me like I need to get out of his fucking way, like I owe him something, which Aiden knows I would have got out of his way eventually. I'm not going to just sit there and just hold him up, right? So I was going to let him up. If you know Mesquite, going up the hill, right? So the bowl turn before going up the big hill, it's a wide, big bowl turn. You can go wide, cut down. You can go in, go up. There's many options. I am going to that bowl turn. I'm going to hit the bowl turn and cut down. As soon as I pivot to cut down, a green fender fucking Vince Freezes me. And explodes me.
Bam, bam.
Like, I fly off. I'm flipping. I hit my head. I'm on my back. I don't even know what goes on, right? So immediately, I shake. I'm just like, I can't believe what just happened, for one.
I know.
Number two.
I was there.
I'm laying there on the ground trying to, you know, dissect to make sure I'm okay. Which, you know how you hit so hard, you see, like, fucking things in your eyes? So I'm seeing some shit. I'm like, okay. I go to get up, and I'm dizzy. So I sit back down, and then I just lay down. So then I'm fucking red. I'm pissed. And then I hear you, Heather. She's across the track. I hear her yelling, what did you do? What did you do? Screaming at Aiden because she doesn't see me get up, so she thinks I'm dead. Aiden comes flying up, puts his bike down, and he's looking over the top of me. Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm not answering anything. I'm not answering.
Silent.
No words. And then he kept asking me, and I just told him, get the fuck away from me. That's all I said to him.
Yep.
So then that spawned off on us yelling at each other, told me did it on purpose. He's yelling at me. No, I didn't, but I ride dirt bikes. What exactly happened was Aiden blacked out because I brake checked him in the rut two corners before because I was pissed that he revved at me. So then he just went blank and just took out his dad for no reason. This dumbest move ever. And had I known if we were riding like that, I would have went inside. Just would have went inside and would have covered the line and no harm, no foul. But I went pivot and then started accelerating back down. And then I got hit by a motorcycle. So there was some time behind me until it happened. There was no brakes involved. So it was a bad move too far back. If he needed to make the move, he needed to be right beside me, you know, push me out wide, a normal block pass. This was a fucking T-bone steak a la Vince Freeze, fucking rare, right?
Wow.
That shit wasn't cooked. It was just bloody, and here we are.
Still
screwed up my bike, bent my bars. So I didn't, it was bad. Dubok was like, he walked away. He's like, oh boy, domestic violence is going to happen. Shit's going to be popping off of the skeet. The owner, track owners aren't walking. One of the track workers came, hey, are you okay? I go, get the fuck out of here. We're good. Like, I'm pissed.
It was not a fun time.
So then we had a discussion as a family. What did you do? And then finally.
Well, first, before the discussion, there was, I'm coming for you, fucker.
Yes.
I'm coming for you, and I'm going to fucking break your leg. And I'm like, oh, yes. Buddy.
Well, I got back on my bike. And I said, let's go ride. Let's right now. I was getting back on my bike. I said, come on, let's go. Let's finish this out. He didn't want to. I couldn't go because my bike was so jacked up, so I couldn't go. So I was like, okay, well, that's not going to work. So then I had to go back and fix my bike. I did not speak to him. I didn't want to talk to him. I don't want to look at him because I would have killed him.
It took about an hour or so.
I would have killed him.
Uh-huh.
As you people know, there's only one set of people in your life that can make you as happy and mad, and that is your family. So it's the best thing, and also you want to strangle them until they just
stop
lights
breathing.
Out. Yes. So I had to calm down. So anyway, we figured out what he does when shit goes south because Aiden didn't start racing until later in life, and whatever, maybe that's not an excuse, is he checks out. You just check the fuck out. And you don't know what you do until after the thing is done. And then that can find you in some trouble, right? I'm talking to you. Like, you can look at me when I'm talking to you.
He's having flashbacks. He's scared. He's had PTSD from that day.
So I discussed, I go, Aiden, you meant to do that because that's what pissed me off the most, people, is when your kid's standing over you and I said, you meant to do that. And then he said, no, I didn't. That's when I went to DEFCON 4. Because now you're lying to me. Not only am I fucked up, but now you're lying to me. And that's it. If you would have said, dude, I lost my mind. I checked out. Holy crap. I would have been mad, but I wouldn't have gone, I wouldn't have gone DEFCON.
Just, huh?
So after everything calmed down, I had to have a conversation. We had it. He admitted, like, hey, I just blanked out. And then so now we thought we were good, right? We worked on that. It's good. Now we're in the present day. And now we're in racing, man. Okay. Alvin Hillian.
Hillian.
What I want to be Hillian.
You're just going to call him Hillian?
He's a good, he won Texas. What class did he win? Schoolboy? 250B? Whatever. He won Texas Spring National. B kid. Good. He's SLR Honda kid. Don't know much about him. Doesn't talk very much. Don't know. But he rides, he's a DGAF kind of rider. He's kind of DGAF.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Don't give a fuck.
Yes. He kind of hangs off the back, revs the shit out of his bike. Rails outside, rear steers things. There's like, it's taped. His hand's taped. That's what he's about. That's his stuff. So he goes good. So Aiden found himself in the lead in this moto. I don't know what class it is. It doesn't really matter. If you do, you can say that.
I think it was 250B.
Going up the hill. He has like 5, 6, 7 bike length lead. Not everything's good. Alvin's behind him. He stalls his bike on the hill. Alvin passes him down the hill. I don't know why you stall it going up a hill. I don't know how the fuck you do that.
It wasn't the turn.
It doesn't matter. I don't know how you do it.
I don't either, dude. I was just as amazed as you are.
And then we get to the new section that you said you like, where tabletop to a left-handed 90 outside bowl, double in the thing, or inside, cover your inside, drift out to the roller. that could be a passing move. Me and Eddie are standing in the mechanics area by the start, and then I see, as they're coming towards me, Alvin goes over the jump, and then about 3 to 4 bike lengths behind him, I see Aiden scrub, and then I just see his elbow drop to 6. And I'm like,
is that the sign?
And then I see him, and then I see him come from the right, because Alvin decided to go, and I don't understand why he wanted to do this, maybe because he didn't think Aiden was going to do anything, but he was going to do bull turn, double in. Well, not a lot of places to pass. That's where you need to pass if you're going to do it. You're going to dive inside, take the line away. He can't double. Boom, take the lead over, right? So I see the elbow drop to 6. I see him careen from the right to the left, and I go, oh, boy, here we go. You're too far back. It's just like Top Gun. You're too low, Cougar. Pull up, pull up, pull up. Homeboy doesn't pull up. There was no pull up. He didn't pull up. So then he fucking comes in with the head of steam. Alvin maybe doesn't see him to the last minute because you have to pivot. And then as soon as he flipped his head, he was me. And he got fucking T-boned rare. And they both hit. They go off the track. Both fly off the deal. What the fuck was going on, dude?
I had nowhere else to pass, dude. It was in the morning, like I said. I'm pissed because I just lost the lead. I had a gap. There's nowhere to pass. It's all outsides, and we're all taking the same line. You can't go on the inside rut because it's muddy. So I'm like, this is the only option I got right now is right here. And I think it was on, like, the second to last lap.
It was on lap 5.
And I knew. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get any closer because we're taking the exact same lines, and he's really good when it's smooth. Yeah. So I'm like, this is my only option is right here. I'm going to do it right here, right now. And I saw it, and like how you say you got to make a quick decision.
Yeah.
That was the quick decision, was going up the lip, going, all right, this is my chance right here. And then I saw the line.
But you never turned. You went straight into his line. Like, you didn't even, there's an inside rut. You didn't even go into the rut.
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yes.
How?
I went in the rut.
Listen to me.
There was a sweeping inside rut, and that's what I went into.
That rut, I was there, okay? That rut didn't go into his line up the face of the jump.
Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah, I know you did.
No, the rut went into it because it drifts out into the low line. I was taking it the whole time.
Listen, as I explained on the way home, if Alvin wasn't there, you would have went blue through the cones.
Well, I would not have hit it that fast if Alvin wasn't there.
So what I'm saying is you were a little bit too far back to make that move stick. Or if you were that far back, get a half a wheel in there and then make him think about it and break, and then you could have...
If anyone's out there and has this on video, can you please send it to us?
Why are you whispering?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's very, very...
So you guys
right
explode each other. You're off the track.
My glove got ripped off. I have no idea.
Glove
how
got
that
ripped
happened.
Off. Did he say anything to you?
Yeah, as we're getting back up, he goes, oh, shit, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm okay. And then he rides off.
I mean, that's pretty nice of him.
Well, as Gunner, as we're mid-crash and we're eating shit, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry.
So you already knew you were doing the wrong thing before you even hit him.
No.
You said, oh, shit, I'm sorry, and then you hit
him. I said, oh, shit, I'm sorry when I hit him, when we're mid-crash.
Oh, boy. So I had a flashback. That was the same kind of blackout that would happen to us at Mesquite, just in a different corner. Mm-hmm. So, Aiden, I mean, you can tell a story. Why am I telling your story? Go ahead.
Well, what else?
After, what happened?
Nothing. I tried to do the lap, and I couldn't. My hand hurt. I jammed my wrist, and I hit a bump, and I was like, well, I can't do that, so I pulled off.
So I think his handlebar smacked to your bone on your hand is when you hit, because well, you're on the
palm.
Outside.
I don't know how my palm was.
Well, I think he hit, and then it drove your palm into the bar.
Maybe.
You guys hit hard, right? And you bent your bars. Now, I thought we tried to straighten it out. It wasn't your bar mounts. It was actually your bar. So if you're bending a Renthal fat bar, that's an impact.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And yeah. You broke your front number plate.
No, my front number plate is already broken.
So.
Oh. Okay, I retract that.
We dissected that. That was a little bit aggressive for the move, for how far back you were. Whatever.
We got multiple people telling us that it was 50-50.
But yeah, no, it was the right move. I feel like the brain, that was correct. But I just think it was a little bit too far back to make it happen without... I think it was more like you going in there going, here we go, whatever happens. You're like in Vegas, throw the dice. Like, okay, man, I could... It's like... black or red. I'm going to go on black, and then boom, it's red, and then gah.
Damn.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it was at.
Yeah.
And for the first, and that's what I'm just telling you on the way home. For a first moto, that's unnecessary.
Well,
if that was the
win.
Second moto for the win, understood.
Well, I wanted to win no matter what.
I understand and that, but we talked about second is as good as a first, the first moto. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. That's like the discussions that we have on the way home is those kind of discussions. Like, respect the move. I like that you have some balls. I like that you're not going to take any shit. That's all good. Like, hey, if you're DGAF, I can be DGAF. Great. That's all. That's all. That's part of racing. But just a little bit aggressive for the timing of the explosion. Because we've had an explosion in Arizona this year. Yeah. Which I understood because it was last lap for a championship. Understood.
Mm.
So, granted, glad you guys were both okay because that could have been really bad.
Yep.
But I don't know. He never was the same after that. Obviously, you weren't, so you were pretty much done. So, you screwed your whole weekend up. You tried to ride the next day.
You tried to ride after that.
Well, I rode after that. We'll get to that, though.
I thought that was the next day.
That was yesterday.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
We couldn't ride.
So, go ahead.
So I didn't know if I was going to be able to ride because as soon as I got back up and I rode, and as soon as I hit a bump, I was like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And then I kept riding, and it still didn't feel good. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. So we pulled off, and my next moto wasn't until 2:30. And that's the class that I won, and I wanted to win that class. So I'm like, well, I might as well just suck it up, right? It's 8 laps. And so we go race, and I hole shot it, and I led the whole entire race. The first 2 laps, I pulled a gap on Grayson, and then my hand started to hurt, and then I started to barely ride because I could not hang on to the damn bar.
Which, as a parent, like I know how you ride, and I could tell your body language was way different on the bike. I'm like, it's hurting. You're managing, because you could just tell like you weren't pushing like you normally do.
Well,
like
the lap times are good, so I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but you could just tell like his positioning on the bike wasn't.
I mean, you're hurt, right? I understand.
Normal positioning. So like,
but
I knew.
You can't. I mean, Grayson was just hung around. Like he was good.
Yeah
he was good. And so. Then I led the entire race until the last lap, white flag, literally 2 turns from after.
By then, I was up on the hill watching you.
Yeah.
He was coming. He was in your ass.
I wasn't gonna let it happen.
I know. I'm just saying he was in your
ass again.
On your buddy? You go DGAF on your buddy.
It's for a win, dude. I'd fucking kill him. I'd kill him for $1,000.
No, you would not.
It's $1,500. I'd kill him for $1,500.
Stop it. You would not kill him.
No, I wouldn't. But I mean, I wouldn't T-bone him, but I mean, if it did came down the last 2 turns, I'd brake check him or hop a rut or something. I mean, I wouldn't physically kill him.
Right.
But.
You wouldn't do it to him what you did to Alvin.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do that to him.
And if you did do that to him, I'd be really upset.
I let Cole jack you up.
Yeah,
no,
I wouldn't do that.
I'd let Gunner jack you up.
Did you see the whole one real quick? Did you see the Gunner picture?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about that after. But anyways, last lap, as soon as I get the white flag with 2 turns, the flagger is waving the yellow flag, and he's pointing to the inside, and I thought that's... The rider went down, but you said there was 2.
There was a guy down there.
So there's an inside hump on the inside, but it's so tall, you can't see anything that's around the outside.
Well, you can't see the other side of the hump. So
you
there's
can't.
Ruts going up of the inside hump and then on the way down.
But
so.
Then you can't see right next to what's on the other side of the berm.
Right.
So I go around the outside berm, and here comes, and then there's this other dude that fell too, and he's getting back up. I'm like, oh, shit, dude, please don't pull on right in front of me. Literally, come on, dude, please. He literally looks over at me and then moves right. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me right now, dude. We literally go up the face, almost clip bars, and I jump off the track. I'm like, oh, my God, I just let this whole damn race, dude, and I just blew it. I just blew it because I had to go outside. Sure shit, I go outside. I jump back on the track. Grayson passed me. I'm like, God dang it, dude. So then I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself right now. I'm going to try to get him. And then the only spot... my other mesquite spot, the only spot where I knew I can make a pass right there. My bolt turn.
The dad bowl?
The dad bowl. I wasn't close enough, and he cut down under. I'm like, gosh dang it, dude. I just led this whole entire race.
And then you screwed the corner up going up the hill. I was like, that's it.
Yep. And then I was like, I'm going to kill myself, dude. I'm like, I don't care if I crash right now. I crash. I don't care, dude. I'm going to kill myself. And
you,
I couldn't.
You got on his ass, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was... good on him, man. I mean, yeah. Sucked for you. It sucked, but like, good on him for capitalizing. Because so he had a tough week too. His bike took a shit. Like his parents had to go up and replace bike. Like it's a nightmare, right?
I'm just so pissed because I wasn't even gonna race, and then I decided to race, and I lead the whole damn thing.
That is depressing.
And I can't fucking feel my hand on my bar, and then the last lap, I literally get screwed by lap, which
the worst possible outcome.
Was probably my fault knowing I should not have gone outside, but at the same time, the dude looked right over at me, and then I'm like, dude, come on.
And here's the thing. It's open BC. I don't like that class. Just make it open C class.
Well, I'm just surprising how we caught lappers that quick, though.
It's C.
It's BC. So
C. They're doing high 159s. You guys are doing 40s. Like, you're going to catch them. Or some of them are doing 2-something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Regardless, the decision-making wasn't great.
No.
Like, once you see that, you need to kind of be on your – you need to calm down. I think you were in a rush a little bit too much.
That's the thing, though, is because when I went all the way outside, the middle inside ruts also formed into the outside rut coming out.
Right.
So I couldn't really jump anywhere. And the outside rut was so deep that you couldn't
move. You can't jump out, right?
You couldn't move out of it.
Right. I think you would have been fine if you went inside.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think it because when the dude pointed inside, I'm like, okay, there's a dude down right here, so I'm going to go outside.
Well, there was a dude
over
there.
And then there was two dudes down.
Well, the gray went inside, and he made the right decision, and you didn't.
Yeah.
So it's like all these things are learning points of racing that you have lack of. You just don't race enough.
Yeah.
You know, so you made some good decisions, and you made some bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And
you learn from them and move on.
Yeah, it makes me sick, too. I'm up on the hill watching this thing, and I'm like, well, that's disheartening.
Yep.
But nonetheless, I mean, I feel like you learned some things. You had good speed. You just need to put some things together. Like, you're too inconsistent on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're really good, and then you have a fall, you know? So, like, if you want to do this for a profession, you have to string those things together. Because if this is a series, which you will have to race at some point, you need to string good results along to acquire points.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's another thing that we're missing in our amateur world is a series. Let's put a series together for you kids so you can understand what it's like to go an X amount of months having pressure dealing with points lead or making up points, or it'll help your decision making. These kids just show up for a day or 3 days for one title. Let's make these a points race.
Yeah.
If we have these majors, let's make all the majors a points race for a grand.
That's the thing, is there's not enough majors nowadays, though. That's
but
the
they could create. What are you talking about? There's all kinds of these money grab amateur races everywhere. Let's work on that. Decide which ones are good or not. And if they want to make it a prestigious amateur race, and then help the actual manufacturer decide who they want instead of this fucking futures thing that they're doing, which is not a bad thing. I'm just saying they're putting too much emphasis on this futures thing, and now you got kids getting broke off in Supercross, which granted may happen regardless if they're racing it, but like, we're trying to push these kids early into the Supercross mode, which can hurt them. So then what are we doing about motocross? We're leaving that to the wayside. So why don't we create a series for amateur motocross and make it a prestigious event? And if they don't want to do that for every class, great. Do it for the B and A classes and make it a series.
Yeah.
It would be great for the kids.
Yeah.
And then it would actually probably get more people to go to more events because it will be more prestigious.
Like kind of what they're doing for WMX?
No, WMX isn't really.
But they're doing it, but it's
loose at the same time.
It's like their foot is half in the water.
Well, the only thing that really has like a point series is leading up to Mammoth, like the Mammoth races that they have.
Yeah, but that doesn't really do anything either because you go there and what, you have a red plate? Doesn't even mean anything.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, as far as what Dad's saying with like the whole points thing, showing up, making points, that's the
Make
only thing.
Make it the actual, you know, like how the pros do it. If it's a 6-race series throughout the whole year, good. From January, like
January to May or something.
Whatever. You have this pressure all year. Hey, you know, red plate holder in the B class, this guy. It's like, make it realistic. That's what I'm saying. If we want to train these kids and teach them the right way and help them, you know, groom to their professional career, why aren't we having a series? They make Loretta Lynn's the championship, but right. They say, well, it's a week long. It's 3, but it's 3 fucking motos. Sure, that is a little fun size sample of a series, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a week long. Make it 6 months at different tracks, different races, so you adapt. Loretta Lynn's is one track, and it's a small track, and it's not realistic to professional tracks.
Well, then aren't they kind of sort of doing that with, not Futures, what's the outdoor one? The
Combine?
Yeah.
But that's,
no, they're
that's
not a, really doing anything, though, because you, if you win that, you don't get anything.
That is more for how the event is ran for the kids. Like, but here's, see, how the day goes.
So why not take and do, how many outdoors are there? There's,
yeah, I know.
15?
Yeah. 13.
They can, yeah, do whatever.
Right. Do like maybe four races at...
So trust me,
yep.
I feel like they can do a lot of things. I'm not MX Sports.
Right.
Davey's my boss. I don't know what the answer is. And right. If it's not MX Sports, they don't have to do it at the Nationals, you know, because that's just an A thing. That's a B and A thing. Make it go to these different tracks at these majors or featured events. Have a Glen Helen. Go to World Mini. Go to Florida. Go to... Texas, make one in Michigan for Baja Brawl. Like, do these ones for a series.
Oh, just turn it into a series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Six races, different amateur events. That's part of the series. I mean, God forbid they put, what was it? What did Cooper Webb win in St. Louis? Not even know there was a fucking series within a series.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, the Triple Crown. He's a Triple Crown champion. Cooper Webb's your Triple Crown champion. I didn't even know they had that. Like, who gives a shit? Cooper didn't even know. He's like, okay. I won. Sweet. Like, why not do that for the kids?
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I think it would help them. I think having that thought process and you explode yourself, maybe you wouldn't do that because you know you got four more races to go. Mm-hmm. You got to collect points. Hey, I'm going to get a second here.
Yeah.
Manage a series. I got to manage it.
Right.
So, I don't know. In our world of social media... In these accounts that are like MX fails and these DGAF, oh, look at homeboy, he sent it. Ha, 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 ha. You're getting more kids that don't give a fuck.
Right.
And then they're getting hurt.
Yeah.
Because they think they see it on social media, so there's no consequence. Oh, dude, that. And then every kid, just like what you said here, dude, I almost died. Dude, that guy died. Do you see me die over there? They say die for everything. I'm like, no, I wouldn't even want to use that term.
Right.
Like, they just think it's whatever.
Right.
Because it's so like, oh. It's
nonchalant.
Like, yeah.
It's like, meh.
I don't know. It's just, shit's going south, man. You went south.
I went DGAS.
You went south.
I did.
And then screwed your whole weekend up.
Yeah.
So congratulations to
Grayson.
The Townsends. The family's a great family, much like the Bruffs. And Cole works his ass off. And Lib, they do a great job for their kids. Gunner's a great kid. He works the track.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson's. The more I watch Grayson, he's a very technical rider.
Yeah.
Smooth. He's good on the bike. Like, he's, yeah, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to grow into being a good rider. Yes. You know, he's young. He's 15. Yeah. So, yeah. I had Gray. So, Gray did some stuff for me for Racer X when he was on minis. And he wasn't a very talkative human being. And now he's a very inquisitive human being, which I think it's funny. So, he's funny to be around. Gunner, I love him. He's just a...
He's the same thing. He's a more mature version of Grayson,
yeah,
when it comes to talking.
I wonder, okay, because you hang around Cole and Lib.
Yeah.
I don't see any of that. The kids are different. Maybe,
no.
I don't know.
I've come to realize now that Grayson and Gunner are the exact same now.
I'm talking about which...
Who do they represent?
Yeah,
which parent?
Lib had a good joke for me at the end of the day.
I'd say Gunner gets his humor from Cole, and I'm going to say Grayson gets his humor from Libet, maybe.
I wish I could remember what Lib told me.
But,
it was really funny.
But
it
there
was a
are
sexual
things,
joke, which made me laugh.
But there are some things that Grayson says that I feel like he gets it from Cole, but I don't know.
Anyway, and that's another thing about amateur racing. You get to park with these families and these neighbors that you create, and you get – it's just a cool atmosphere. I'm sure you see some bad with the good, but, like, look it. I'm known for parking out in the North 40 and being by myself because I like – peace and quiet. I don't want to be next to the track. People always want to park next to the track. I'm out. I don't want to hear fucking cobras everywhere.
Speaking of that, I think who was on the line? I think it was you and the little little 50s were out there.
Yeah.
And
you can hear a dad.
Yeah, you
could
just hear the dads yelling, and the parents are like, they're standing with the kids. They're like, I don't know what's better. Like, watching these little kids try and get around this track because it's so amazing. The ruts are, like, bigger than them, and they can get these little tiny bikes around, or the parents yelling that you can actually hear them over the bikes.
I mean, you had a moto after the P-Dub motos, and that's all you hear is parents.
Yeah.
Tony Alessi was there with Mavis, his daughter. She raced, and Tony Alessi fashion, he knew exactly where to go. The gate, he's on the very inside gate, the shortest distance to the first corner. But he's very chill. Very chill. Like, he was talking to me. But, I mean, like, that's not
normal. I did hear that there was a thing going around where someone walked past Tony and goes, yeah, no, I heard one of these kids' bikes are like, modded, and they're modded out. And Tony went, what? Which one? Where? Which one?
It's awesome. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's cool to see him racing with his daughters.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I like to see he was out there. Anybody else that we saw that stood out, or what's up?
Preston Kilroy won every A moto besides one.
So we had Marsh. Marsh decided to come out, and Marshall Welton. Some people don't know what that is.
Marshall Welton.
It was $1,500 to win. So I'm like, oh yeah, you need to come out and race. So he raced. Preston Kilroy is local. He rides there a lot, and Marshall beat him the first moto, but Preston ended up taking it. The second moto, so won overall. Jaden Smart, he won the 85cc 911.
That kid's good.
Does he go to Oklahoma?
Yes, he was in Oklahoma when we were there. He's from Canada.
It says Berry Creek, California.
Yeah, but he's originally
He's going to be
Canada.
On the Pulp Show tomorrow night.
He's originally from Canada.
Jaden Smart, Pulp Show guy.
Oh.
That's obvious.
Along with Doug Dubach and Mike Ulrich.
Okay. Oh, they stayed up there?
Yeah.
To go to the show?
Yep. Nolan Ford, he won the 85cc 12-14.
How did our guy Siebes do?
Reese Seba, 4-1 for second overall. Wyatt Duff, second, third for third overall. Wyatt Duff is from Kentucky. Wow. Super Mini 1. Dannon Reed, 2-1 over Wyatt Duff. So Wyatt Duff going on 85 or Super Mini. And the Super Mini 1-12-15. Reese Seba, 3-4 for third. Reese, I thought Reese would win.
Reese said he crashed every moto.
Really?
Yeah.
And, of course, our friend, the sandbagger, Sophia Phelps, goes 1-1 in the women class.
Give it up. I can't clap.
Yeah. Good job, Sophie. You just beat up on the women. And much props to her. She beat up on the college boy class, too, because she got third overall in the college boy
class. Did she?
Yeah.
College person.
She got third.
She calls it college lady.
No, it's college girl.
College girl.
I thought it was college person.
It should be, right?
Okay.
I thought they were getting rid of that class a long time ago.
Let's see what 250C is all about.
How many riders?
This is sick.
Hold on. Tell us how many riders are in 250C.
250C class has 24.
Wow. That's almost a full game.
Alessio Chavez takes the win with a 1-1. Good job, Alessio, from Rock Springs, Wyoming. Sean Sutton and Mars Miller. Mars. Steve would love these names.
Oh, boy.
This guy's name in ninth, Brody Santa. 12-8 for Brody Santa. But the best guy that I saw all week, his name is Dozer.
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 He's built like a shit brick house.
Yes, he is.
And he is racing. His name is Tyke Taylor.
His other nickname was actually called Blueberry.
Why?
Because he looks like a blueberry.
He's wearing blue jeans.
Wearing jeans that are cut off, though.
Jeans that are cut off. Yes, Aiden, you explain why.
Because he's so big, he can't fit into regular size.
So he is a child.
Moto pants.
But he requires an adult size waist, which that doesn't happen. So you have an adult size waist, you have these long pants, right?
Yeah.
Dozer is not long.
No.
He's built like a little fucking
Gary
fullback.
Sutherland.
Yeah. He's like Gary.
He looks like Gary's daughter.
Emery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little shit break house.
Looks like a male version of Emery.
Yes.
Like, if you went to punch Dozer,
he wouldn't move.
He would laugh at you.
Yes.
And then he'd hit you and you'd fall 40 feet back.
If I'm starting next to Dozer, I'm shitting my pants.
He's literally wearing a regular jersey, like the kind of jeans that you
He's
go to Tennessee.
Up. He's laced up from the waist up.
Yeah, you go, like, you know the back east dads where, like, they wear, like, the bedazzled jeans with the chain hanging off?
Yeah, he's
off?
Got some True Religions
he's
on.
He's got some Trues on that are cut off.
He's wearing that Rockin' Republic jeans, dude.
Hell yeah, he
yeah.
is.
But I saw him. I gave him little knuckles at the starting line. Probably, who the hell is this guy? But yeah, I just thought, like, it was cool.
Yeah, whatever.
That's cool.
Blueberry. So
I wish I would know what class he was. Let's see what he did.
Is 85, 9-11 probably.
Tyke Taylor, 7-7 for 7.
There you go.
Eighth place, Nixon Jukes.
Nixon,
some good names in here, man.
Oh, we got to see Tony Cherie, Jeske.
People don't know who the hell you're talking about.
He was an old mechanic for Subway, Honda, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They came down with their kids, and their one kid rode, I think it was the 50 class.
Our guy Eddie came out with you. He took you. Eddie Larratt came out there for Aiden, and he probably didn't need to come because Aiden exploded himself on the first day he was there.
Second day.
And Jill and the girls came out. So we had a whole family inside of the Airbnb.
Yes.
Yep.
And now we're back home. And now we're going back east. Aiden?
Looking forward to it.
Aiden's going to go back east to Trans Brownie, my nemesis.
Maybe. My second
can you take him out, please? Do something to him.
See, I can't because the damn dude doesn't ride.
Well, when he rides, T-bone his ass. Give him a fucking rare T-bone.
Okay. I'll go degaff on him, too. Claim more to my list.
Oh, dear God.
You trust me. I will tell you this. If Brownie you do that,
I know, that's
he will
what,
not be as nice as I was.
I know. I got to go home with him that night, dude.
You won't go home.
I know.
You better call Jalik and be like, can I come live with you?
I'm going to call Soph.
You will not go home. So, yeah, that's pretty much our week there. It was uneventful. Oh, let's talk about Steve real quick before we wrap this up.
Yes, Steve, 50cc champion right here. Give it up for Steve.
Mm-hmm. He got his own class for one.
50cc's.
No, let's know Haycoms on Steve. So, this is fun. So, Vermoto, there's a video. Remember, back in the day, Steve had a show called The Bottom Line Show. And it was very funny. If you want to look those up on YouTube, they're very funny and cool, lighthearted. So Verb invited him out because Verb is actually recording and giving him live feed to his Privateer Challenge event that he's doing at Salt Lake. So
it was Denver.
Denver and Salt Lake, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's at Salt Lake. There's no Denver this year.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
Yes, yeah, there is. Denver's the week before.
It is?
Yeah, yes. You told me. It's at Denver. It's at Denver
It's
still.
At Denver.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. It's,
all right. Well, if it's at Denver. I thought there was no Denver this year.
There is Denver.
There's Denver this year.
Are you guys sure? Look it up while I'm talking
about
Yeah,
there's
this.
Denver.
So Steve owes them something, right? So he had to come to an amateur race, which Steve is anti-amateur.
Steve hates it.
Not only did he show up, but he brought his bike to actual, not race, but we're going to use quote, air quotes, race. He started on the Vet 30 Plus line, although on the outside, he still did a gate drop, which I'm very proud of.
You got eighth.
And he didn't have a transponder. He was adamant about that. He felt like if he had a transponder, he didn't have a transponder, he would race. Okay.
May the fourth be with you in Denver, Colorado.
So I got the lap times, which thanks to Gary and the crew upstairs, they actually got Steve's lap times hand done. Oh. A la Heather Kiefer. Only one stopwatch, though. No shell game.
Whatever.
So he had a high 159. He had 202s, 204s. But in that moto, I think we were doing 143s. But he still raced and is, God have it, 30 plus class. He is 50 years old. He beat like five dudes.
Good job, Steve.
There you go, Steve.
And from what I told from Gary, he sent the finish line tabletop. Like, he didn't practice, right? He didn't even go out. That was the first time he was out there. He found himself not in last, and so he's, you know, mid-pack or wherever he was. Gary said he almost freaking wadded off the finish line because he sent it.
OJ'd it.
Like, he started front end, started dipping a little bit. And I'm like, yes, because that means he was getting that race mode and he didn't care.
D-gaff.
I'm like, yes, dude. And I didn't lap him. We didn't lap him.
There you go.
So, very impressed.
Good job, Steven.
Give it up for Steven.
Good job, Steven.
Oh, do we also want to cold call Derek?
No.
Okay.
I just want to wrap this up here.
Okay.
So, I thought Steve was there. He raced. He did a good job. He prefers his Wednesday prep more than the race day prep.
Shocking.
But nonetheless, he did some fun stuff over on Vermoto. You can check it out there on vermoto.com. And look forward to Steve racing some more. So when you give him shit, don't give him too much shit because he actually did come out and
dropped one gate.
Yeah, didn't. Well, he did some fun stuff with the 50. He lined up with some 50s and had some parents scared a little bit. And he did line up. He went out in 450C. And he said that was one of the scariest things he's done in a long time.
That was that was probably the worst thing he could have done right there.
Woo. So yeah, my race, we always get to this, not much to talk about. I sucked. Riley smoked me. I got second. I didn't even line up for the last moto because you were hurt and we left. So I didn't race that last moto. But nonetheless, I had a good time. I learned a lot about my motorcycle, so that's a plus. So there are some pluses in there.
Yes.
Props to the vet guys showing up. Props to the guys that came over and the guys that gave me t-shirts.
Yep.
Vet class heroes.
Vet class heroes.
What was the t-shirt name?
You know what? I'm going to look up this guy because that guy was super cool. He gave me a t-shirt and he was talking about, you know, some of these vet guys that they don't come out and ride anymore just because, you know, they feel pressure or whatever. And I thought that was really cool that he's like, you know, it's not about that. It's about having fun. And he came over and gave me, you know, a t-shirt. So I thought that was cool.
Yep.
Jeffrey McCullough. He went 8.7.
Nice.
For 7th overall in 25 class. So good job. I wonder if he raced 30. Let's look that up real quick. So yeah, he gave me some t-shirts. He gave Eddie a t-shirt. And yeah, so I just thought, you know. Yeah, Jeffrey McCullough went 9th. Went 11.9 in Vet 30. So yeah.
Good.
Good job. Nice to meet you. And I had a cop. Cops were there getting some tacos. The local police.
They are state troopers.
And one of the cops came. He's, are you Chris Kiefer? And I go, yes, sir. He's like, come with me.
Oh,
shit. I'm like, oh, shit. And then he just said, I listened to the show. I thought it was funny. So.
He had a friend.
Yeah.
You know what Libet said?
No.
What was his name? Can he let me off when I'm driving through the gorge to go home if I get pulled over?
He was Arizona. He wasn't Nevada. So just FYI.
Yeah, but she would go through Arizona to get home.
Yep. So nonetheless, if we're in the gorge, we have maybe a get out of jail free card, maybe.
Maybe.
Overall, very fun time. Had a good time. I'm windburned like a son of a bitch, so my nose is going to be red like Rudolph.
My lips hurt.
My lips are dry. They hurt real, real bad.
Anything else you guys want to discuss?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered it.
So if you guys are out next year thinking about doing World Mini, you should. Hopefully Verb keeps it around.
It's
makes
fun.
It bigger.
Yeah, I hope it grows. I really do because it's a fun race.
Gary and the RMX crew, everybody over there do a great job. If you guys haven't raced an RMX race, maybe you should go do that. I want to go to Delta, Utah. And go race one because I heard that track is really fun. And, just an overall fun weekend. It's a long week for me. We leave on Wednesday, get home on Sunday, and just a lot of work I still have to do here at home. But it's a fun time going racing. So if you are a little bit older and your kids are into it, go race with your kids. You can talk to them about the track more. You can relate things a little bit better to them. And you can have some fun for yourself. Make your wife proud. Some of these wives I hear, they don't want their men racing, though.
So weird.
People these days.
Like, hey, you have kids now. You don't need to race anymore. I'm like, I have a hard time with that.
Clippy, clippy.
I have a hard time with that. When guys tell me that, I'm like, I don't know, man.
But
like,
I guess if you're the sole provider and you get hurt doing.
Yeah, but
I mean, at some point, you got to let your man do what he wants to do.
Correct.
Can't be so controlling all the time.
They have different outlooks than we do, you know?
Maybe, like, yeah.
Our family is a very different dynamic, Aiden.
Don't trust me, I know.
There's a lot of people laughing right now when you said that.
Trust me, I know.
That's crazy. All right, well.
Good job, boys.
Yep. We're going to learn. We're going to go back east. You're going to go race some motocrosses with Mike Brown.
Yep. Jalik's going to be my mechanic.
That's not going to go well.
Jalik and Mike are going to be my mechanics.
Dear Lord.
And then I'm sure we'll be doing some stuff here on the West Coast. We'll be back next week with a... hopefully suspension pod with Mark. We're going to try to get some more details about suspension, and I'm going to do a video here up on my YouTube this week about settings for clickers. Been saying that for about 2 weeks.
Be at Cal Classic next
not
weekend.
Not going to Cal Classic.
I can't hang on to a bar.
I'm going to take a couple weeks off from racing, which is nice. I'm going to be actually home for a weekend, maybe. I have to go back to Europe, but...
Going to Georgia.
I'm going to Georgia because I want to ride. So I'm having my factory edition back there. I'm going to go do some more testing with that back in Georgia. God, I can't wait to ride that thing. It's going to be awesome. If you haven't supported our advertisers, please do because they make great products and they're great people. And we have discount codes for them. So save yourself some money while getting great products. Any questions for me, technical-based, life-based, whatever, Chris at KieferInkTesting.com. If you are teenager that blacks out when he rides, Aiden at KieferInkTesting.com, A-D-E-N. And if you're a wife that cruises around and says annoying things at times to her son.
And constantly looks at the live timing every time.
If you're driving home and she's still living in the race mode and you just want to leave the race mode behind.
Exactly.
If you're like that and you drink bitch pops like she is right now.
Hit up.
Heather at KieferInkTesting.com.
Wow.
And she can just bond with you over bitch pops, live timing,
yelling at your kid.
I didn't yell at you.
She didn't yell.
She yelled at me one time.
What did I yell at you?
I don't know, something.
I didn't yell at you.
She didn't yell.
Pretty sure I got yelled at one time.
No, you didn't. I just asked you if
you
want to
know about
okay.
How to wash gear, how to get some stains out, white gear. She has a very, very nice way to get white gear clean.
Yep.
Heather at yes. Kiefer Ink Testing. And if you want merch, she's wearing a woman's hoodie that she refuses to sell to you ladies. I don't know why. She just wants to be cool and wear her own shit and not sell it. Over on KieferInkTesting.com. But when are you going
to
do that?
It's one off, dude. She wants to feel special.
You wives listening to this, you're stuck listening to this godforsaken show. If you want some Kiefer Ink merch and you're a lady, hit up Heather at KieferInkTesting.com.
Yes.
And maybe she'll do something.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's get James. Give me that little mic here. My buddy James from across the street So if you know, James is our special neighbor. Hold on, people. Get experience here. Hold on, James.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, James, you're on the air. We're live right now. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, California, how you doing? What's up, Mr. Keeper?
Well, we just got home, James. We're doing a show about our weekend, right?
Okay.
And we're talking about how Aiden crashed. And
uh-oh.
Yep, and how I didn't do very good, James. So, so how was your week, James?
Well, it's a long story. I don't want to make it short. I mean, long, but I tell you.
Yeah, maybe tell me when I'm off the air, we can discuss it.
Yeah, but anyways, I kept an eye on the house, and I thought your wife was going to be home and all that, and I haven't seen any packages, so the last couple of days, I saw a package there by your front gate, so I just brought it over, but I didn't check the mail or anything, so I didn't know if she was supposed to check it or anybody else, but I kept an eye on it and put the package in the back for you. And
you're the man, James. You're the man.
Thanks, James.
James, everybody out there listening, James takes care of our house while we're gone, and he watches over our house, and he makes everything, what, code 4?
Code 4, I'm the neighborhood guy in the neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
In line.
I went to school with James. Me and him hung out a little bit. So, yeah, just so happens that James was my neighbor when I moved in, right, James?
Yep. You got to keep kicking.
Yep.
Okay, see you and tell everybody bye and have a good night.
Tell all the Kiefer Ink listeners bye, James.
Give them five and how many stones you can get them up.
All right, buddy.
Keep fighting.
Okay.
Bye,
see
James.
See
bye,
you, James.
Adios, amigos.
Later. Hey, everybody, you got the live version of our neighbor. That's our guy, James, over there. If
love
you've seen
him.
It on social media, James is a special kid, and I wouldn't say kid, he's the same age as me, but he does a lot of duties for
the neighborhood
watch, basically.
Yep, takes our trash out, we pay him, he's a good guy, and love to have him around.
Yes.
He's one of these guys that, you know, he'll come over every day, but he only stays 5 minutes. He doesn't overstay his welcome, like, he gets it. Like, you might think, he might not get it. No, he gets it. 5 minutes, he's out.
He's in,
he's got to tell
out.
A story, then he's out. So
unlike some people that can't read a room and
right.
stay for a long time.
We don't need that. No. Just, you knock on someone's door, just get to the point, and then bounce Leave. Out. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We appreciate it. We'd like to have some fun here and bring you into our lives. And just like James, man, it's a transparent living over here. So you get the full effect. Support our advertisers, like we mentioned, and that'll help us out a lot. And again, any questions, our door is cracked open for you. Please be careful riding. Have fun. Enjoy your lives. Love you, Aiden. Love you, Heather.
Love you.
And we'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.